Today, we'd like to see the title of Take Up His Cross in the book Mark chapter 8, verse 22 to 38. To honor with multitudes, we'd like to suggest three questions. Number one, in verse 23, so he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when Jesus had spit on his eyes, and put Jesus' hands on him, Jesus asked him if he saw anything. From Jesus' healing method and speed, what can we learn? Jesus healed the blind man. So we see, you know, Jesus' healing method. Also, Jesus' healing speed, you know, gradual speed or, you know, immediate the speed healing. So what can we learn? Question 2, in verse 33, but when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Why did Jesus say to Peter, Satan? Question 3, in verse 34, when Jesus had called the people to himself with his disciples, also Jesus said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What does the phrase of take up his cross mean? First of all, we'd like to see brief background. Bethsaida, just the right side of Capernaum, the headquarters of Jesus' ministry, city Capernaum. Bethsaida was the place of feeding the 5,000 men with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Now Jesus is back to Bethsaida, the north side of the Sea of Galilee, from the Decapolis, the south side of the Sea of Galilee. Mark chapter 7, verse 31, we see the place of feeding the 4,000 men with the 7 loaves and a few small fish. Today, in verses 22 through 26, Jesus healed one blind man by putting his hands 2 times. In verse 27 through 30, Jesus asked who I am. In verse 31 through 33, Jesus taught his death and resurrection. And in verse 34 through 38, Jesus taught how to come after him. Verse 22, then Jesus came to Bethsaida, the northern part over the Sea of Galilee, came back from the Decapolis, south side of the Sea of Galilee, and they brought a blind man. Among multitudes, Jesus brought just one blind man and begged him to touch him. So Jesus took the blind man by the hand. Here, we saw Jesus' compassion, tenderness, and love just to one blind man among multitudes. Also, verse 36, Jesus said, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Rhetorical question, which means the value of a soul is much greater than the value of the whole world in terms of eternity, eternal life. Then, verse 23, so Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town Bethsaida, and when Jesus had a spit on his eyes, here healing method, Jesus used he is a spittle or a saliva, put his hands on him. So Jesus touched him by his hand. He asked him if he saw anything. Another case, John chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, when Jesus had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Here, healing method is different. He used clay to mix with Jesus' saliva, then anointed the blind man's eyes. And Jesus said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed it and came back seeing. Also, we can see another case, Mark chapter 7, verse 32 and 33. Then they brought to him one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. So mute, the patient who was deaf and mute. And they begged him to put his hand on him. And Jesus took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. He put Jesus' fingers in his ears and he spat and touched his tongue. Now he is able to speak. So here's healing method, also healing speed, is totally up to the Lord, because the Lord is a healer, not to depend upon human works. So we should not formulate the Jesus healing method, healing speed. We should not limit his works. Here, Jesus had diversity to heal patients, sometimes Jesus healed patients gradually. Right here, healing is gradual, because Jesus asked the verse 20, for he looked up and said, I see man like the trees working, which means blurred vision, so unclear vision. So here is seeing gradual healing. Verse 25, then Jesus put his hands on his eyes again, a second time, and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So it's a second healing. So always gradual healing or healing method, always up to the healer, Jesus, not to petitioners. For example, Calvary Chapel and I'm here, we have been following the work of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is working in a unique way of this church as a spirit-led church. That is a global church open to whoever loves Jesus Christ, regardless of race, gender, age, wealth, denomination, and educational background. All may join and learn the knowledge of God wherever, including the internet. So that is one example. So we didn't limit the spiritual work. We always spontaneously responded to the spiritual work, although we sometimes failed spontaneously responded to the Lord. So we learned, so we should spontaneously or sensitive to the work of the Holy Spirit. Then verse 26, then Jesus sent him away to his house, saying, neither go into the town, meaning don't go to Bethsaida town, nor tell anyone in the town. Why? Verse 26. Because Jesus doesn't want to hinder God's time to be crucified on the cross. That's a Passover time. So that's why Jesus asked to heal the blind man, not to tell anybody. Verse 27, now Jesus and his disciples went out to the towns of Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi, 50 miles over the north bound from Bethsaida. So Jesus walked to northbound 50 miles from Bethsaida, over 80 kilometers over the northbound from Bethsaida. And on the road, Jesus asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? Or who do they say I am? Who does somebody say I say? So here answer, verse 28. So they answered, John the Baptist. So one example, Herod the king called Jesus as John the Baptist. Now King Herod heard of Jesus, for his name had become well known. And he said, Herod said, John the Baptist is risen from the dead, and therefore these powers are at work in him. So that time some people said, John the Baptist. Or here another say Elijah, some say Elijah. Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. That meaning is before the Lord is coming, Elijah come. So that time is even disciples and some people believed that Jesus as Elijah before the Lord is coming to establish a new kingdom of God to destroy Roman Empire, then declare independent countries as the nation of Israel. So some people believe so. But the others, one of the prophets, even today, most Jewish people, majority Jewish people believe Jesus as one of the prophets. Or Muslim people believe Jesus one of the prophets. The Quran book says Jesus 25th prophet. So 26 is Muhammad, like that. Then verse 29, Jesus said to them disciples, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? This is a very important. What do you believe who I am? Personal acknowledgement of belief is essential rather than the other thing. So our commitment and worship to the Lord, to Jesus, is essential rather than mere curiosity or admiration. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, you are the Christ. The Christ, the English word rooted from the Hebrew word, rooted from the Greek word, but the Messiah, English word rooted from the Hebrew word, that means the anointed one by God. The one anointed by God the Father. So you are the Christ, the Messiah. This is Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 and 17. That's the revelation of God. So Peter had the revelation of God, or Peter had a spiritual discernment. Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. So simply, God the Father reveals this, your compassion. I am the Christ, the Son of a living God, from God the Father, the revelation. God revealed to you your compassion. I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Jesus strictly warned them that they should tell no one about him. You know, that's the same reason, not to hinder God's time to be crucified on the cross. If Jesus were arrested earlier than God's time, Jesus might have been killed, you know, earlier than God's time. So Jesus doesn't want to do so. So verse 31, then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things. The Son of Man is the title that the Messiah is to be killed on the cross. So that's the title. Man is the sacrifice, you know, for all the world, for, you know, all the people. Must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed. Those things are prophesied by the Old Testament in the Bible, such as Daniel chapter 9, verse 25-26 said, you know, the Messiah shall be cut off, or cut off meaning, you know, will be killed. No, that's crucified. Also, Isaiah 53, verses 3-8, he is despised and rejected by man. So that one is two. So Psalm 118, verse 22, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So Jesus also indicated, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. So that kind of explain. But disciples lost the hearing of resurrection, the teaching of resurrection. Jesus taught not only death and the resurrection, but first time Jesus taught the deaths, you know, how to be dead. That time his disciples' audience got in shocked, so audience lost the rest over Jesus' teaching, which is resurrection. Then verse 32, he spoke this word over me. So basically, death and resurrection. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. So Peter rebuked Jesus. We shouldn't rebuke the Lord Jesus Christ, or we shouldn't depend, we shouldn't guide the Lord. So basically, Jesus doesn't need, you know, our rebuke, our dependence, our guidance, but we should just follow Jesus. So the Lord meaning master, leader. So we are servants. So that relationship is expressed, the Lord meaning itself. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 and 23, Matthew described in depth this happening. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. He rebuked him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. So here Jesus said to Peter, Satan, you are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Why? Jesus called Peter Satan. Because of the things of man, contrary to the will of God. That's why, you know, Jesus called, says to Peter, Satan. Because Jesus, you know, don't be crucified, you know, but actually crucifixion is the will of God. You know, but that's a word is against, you know, God's will. That's why she's called Satan. Here, you know, we see Peter's spiritual blindness now. So although you are the Christ, that's a spiritual revelation, but here spiritual blindness. But later, after Jesus' death and resurrection, with filling with the Spirit, Peter was totally changed. So having spiritual revelation, such as the book of Acts chapter 5, 2 and 3, Ananias, Peter case, or magician, you know, Simon case too. He kept back part of the proceeds. His wife, Sapphira, also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Basically, Ananias, Sapphira, made a vow to make an offering to sell over their land, you know, 100% to the Lord. But after the sale of their own land, they changed their heart, you know, to hide some part. You know. That's why the Peter discerned what Ananias and Sapphira, you know, did saw. So Peter said, you know, lied to the Holy Spirit. Also, book of Acts, chapter 8, verse 18, 20, here's a new believer, Simon. He used to be a magician or, you know, sorcerer. When Simon saw that through the laying on the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you, because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. The gift, the meaning, it doesn't need money, you know, buying money at all. Gift, the meaning, just the free giving, and two, that's totally up to this God. So, you know, Simon tried to buy, you know, that, you know, gift. So that was scolded by Peter, showing spiritual revelation there too. Verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, here the people, his disciples, not only disciples, peoples, so which meaning all Christians, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me. So whoever desires to come after me, so this verse can apply to all born-again Christians. So how to come after Jesus? Three steps. Number one, deny himself. Number two, take up his cross. Number three, follow me. Deny himself meaning no selfish life, no selfless life, nor self-esteem. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider robbery to be equal with God. So Jesus gave up the form of God and God's position, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming in the likeness of man. So Jesus chose likeness of man. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. So Jesus obeyed, you know, up to death, you know, humble state, selfless life, even to death of the cross. Also, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. Not helpful for spiritual life. So, all things are lawful if you have, you know, certain material thing, but it is not wrong at all, but not helpful for spiritual life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, we all, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight. So every weight. So you should touch lightly materials, you know, for living, you know, physical living purpose, but the other thing, the spiritual way, spiritual life. And the sin, which is so easily ensnares us, you stick to much certain thing other than God, so you might be tempted to commit sin. And let us learn with endurance or patience the race that is set before us. This is means the physical lifetime. So God already set up our physical lifetime, so we should lay aside every weight, other things rather than God, so we are more focused on spiritual life. That is showing a self-denial life, or a selfless life, or no selfishness, no self-esteem. Number two, take up his cross. What does it mean? That's the last question. In Roman authority, a felony criminal sentenced death penalty with cross by Roman authority. So Roman authority, a certain criminal was sentenced with the death penalty. So death penalty might be three ways. One way is if you are sentenced with death penalty, you would be killed by sword right away, like Paul. So also, number two, you might be hanged on the rope, you know, that way. Number three, you are bringing your cross to the place of execution. So a felon criminal sentenced death penalty with cross away by Rome, bringing his cross to the place of execution. That shows his submission to Roman authority. So to shows, so the felony should bring his cross to the place of execution. That is showing his obedience to Roman the judgment and Roman authority. So like submission to God over God's will. So this indicate take up his cross, meaning submission to God's calling. So if you are mother, so you should play a role of a mother according to the Bible. If you called the father, you should play a role of the father according to the Bible. You are called as a deacon, so you play a role of a deacon according to the Bible or according to the word of God in the Bible. So that meaning, example is Luke chapter 22, verse 42, saying, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. This meaning, so take this crucifixion away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, the Jesus' will, but your will be done. So Jesus' will done. That kind of example, submission to God's will, overruling my ambition, my will. Then last one, follow me, meaning Jesus' likeness life. So me meaning Jesus' example. So all Christians ultimately goal is Jesus-like life. That although some new believers young believers do not recognize all Christians' ultimate goal as Jesus' likeness life. 1 Peter chapter 21, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, so you are Christians, leaving us an example. What example? That you should follow his steps. So Jesus' steps we should follow. So Christian life, Jesus is an example of our Christian life. Verse 35, 38, basically this one is compare physical life and eternal life. So verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. So John chapter 12, verse 25, he who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life or he who suffers his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. So for eternal life, right, he has indicated. So we should live for eternal life. So we should live not bread alone, but by every word. So that is indicated. Verse 36, for what will profit a man, as we already explained, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul in eternity? So also Galatians chapter 2, 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, or selfless life. I am not living for myself, but Christ lives in me. I am living for Christ's sake. And the life which I now live in the flesh, or in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So now I am not living by myself, but for Jesus' sake, my sake, the gospel. Last verse 38, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the second word, over him the Son of Man also will be ashamed over him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. When Jesus comes again, so Son of God will be ashamed over you. Romans chapter 1 verse 16-17 said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to salvation. So basically, in order to avoid the utterly ashamed, so we hesitated to deliver the gospel or be witness to Jesus Christ, so we will be ashamed when Jesus comes again, which meaning we will not have an eternal life. So that kind of meaning. So like the disciples say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, or for the Gentiles. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from face to face, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let's see each question answer. In verse 23, Jesus' healing method, healing speed, what can we learn? So verse 23, here is Jesus picked out is the one blind man. Jesus spit on his eyes and touched him by his hand. So here, Jesus' healing methods are diverse, not in one way. Also, Jesus' healing speed, sometimes gradual, sometimes immediately, instantly healing. So those healing method and speed totally subjected to the healer, the Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we shouldn't formulate it, you know, how to heal people, or we shouldn't limit the work of the Spirit. Question 2, in verse 33, but when he had turned around and looked at his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of man. Why did Jesus say to Peter, Satan? Because of the things of man contrary to the will of God. That's why. So everything is a human thought, you know, fine, but the human thought contrary to the will of God, that kind of thing motivated by Satan. Question 3, in verse 34, when he had called the people to himself with his disciples, to all followers. Also, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, whoever desires to become born again Christian, first let him deny himself, self-deny, take up his cross and follow me. What does the phrase of take up his cross mean? Obey God's will, obey God's calling. Let's pray all together with the Lord's Prayer. We'll finish today's Bible study.